It's always a privilege to have the opportunity to speak, and hope that the lesson this morning will be helpful to you. It helped me as I prepared it. In Matthew, the seventh chapter, Jesus made the comment, "Seek and you will find." And we're going to build on that idea in the study of an individual this morning. You can learn a lot from looking at an individual that is described in Scripture. And when I say two things about this individual, everybody will know who our subject is. Even the small children have heard of this man. First thing we notice about him is that he's described as a very small man. That's the first note. When I tell you that he climbed a sycamore tree, everybody knows his name is Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus is found in Luke, the 19th chapter, and he is a most unique individual. I want to read the passage of Scripture from Luke chapter 19, verses 1 through 10, to refresh our minds about him. And then we're going to build our study on about six words that describe various things about Zacchaeus. Interesting that we're going to find this man who lived so long ago has much to tell us about ourselves. And so I hope that we'll learn some things about ourselves from our study of Zacchaeus. Luke's record is a bit small because the man made an impression on him. He would write this down. Speaking of Jesus, he entered Jericho and was passing through. There was a man called by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. Zacchaeus was trying to see who Jesus was unable because of the crowd, for he was small in stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed up in a sycamore tree in order to see him, for he was about to pass through that way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up, saw him, said, "Zacchaeus, hurry down. Come down, for today I must stay at your house." He hurried, came down, received him gladly. When they saw it, they all began to grumble, saying, "He has gone to be the guest of a man who is a sinner." Zacchaeus stopped, said to the Lord, "Behold, Lord, half of my possessions I will give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will give back four times as much." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because he too is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." Six words that describe Zacchaeus. And I think some valuable lessons for you and me. The words are not necessarily in the text, but they certainly can be found in the description that Luke has left us. Word number one, desire. Desire. Here is a man who is described as very wealthy, and he is a chief tax collector. That means that he had the Roman government behind him. He was about as high on the food chain as you could possibly get. He was an important figure in Jericho. People would know him, and they would not mess with him. He was the chief tax collector. Now, I say this to ask the question, what possibly could this man who is wealthy, who has position, what could he possibly need? What could he desire that he thought maybe Jesus could provide for him? He seemed to have had everything going for him, and yet he seemed to lack something. And so he would leave his home, and he would go out into the crowd, and he wanted to see Jesus. There was a man a number of years ago, I'm not sure if he's still alive or not. His name was Charles Colson. He was in Richard Nixon's White House when Nixon was president. Colson wrote a book entitled Kingdoms in Conflict. the kingdoms being the kingdoms of this world and the kingdom of God. As he describes himself in the first part of the book, he says that when I was in the White House, I was an avowed atheist. When I went to prison for Watergate, I was an avowed atheist. But when I came out, I was a believer. And then he said, I discovered this most important lesson. Man needs far more than the material. He needs the spiritual. Interesting. Charles Colson will go on to try and set up Christian Bible chairs in a number of the prisons around the country. But he had to learn, and he learned it in prison, that power, prestige, money doesn't always give you everything you need. There's a passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14 that I think Zacchaeus would understand. The Apostle Paul wrote, "Now the natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness to him. He cannot understand them because they are spiritually appraised." I think sometimes of you and I as Christians, what are we looking for? What do we desire? What keeps us going? What do we want out of our Christianity? If you have wealth and you have position, like Zacchaeus had, what possibly more could you want? There was something within Zacchaeus that was empty, something that he thought maybe this man that is coming into Jericho, named Jesus, could supply to him. The second word is the word obstacle. Zacchaeus had some obstacles in his life. One of those obstacles was his own size. And we'll call it the obstacle that you can't do anything about. It's going to be there. You're going to live with it. Zacchaeus no more could make himself taller than he could grow wings. He was what he was. You're what you are. Zacchaeus had to live with that obstacle. What he would do with it, we'll see a little bit later. The second obstacle was the crowd of people. Zacchaeus could not see over the crowd because he was short. Someone in that crowd could easily have stepped aside and let Zacchaeus closer to the front. But as crowds go, no one even noticed Zacchaeus. No one made room for Zacchaeus. And there are situations in our lives when no one will make room for our obstacles. There are other obstacles that Zacchaeus faced, what people thought of him, things that he could do something about, things that he couldn't do anything about. Obstacles in the way. Obstacles that can't change. Obstacles that frustrate, that get us down, that bother us. And that brings us to another little word in this area of obstacles. The New American Standard Translation says that Zacchaeus was trying to see Jesus. Trying to see Jesus. Quite often in the past when I was preaching full time, I would say, and I still believe absolutely, try is the biggest word in the Christian's vocabulary. We're not called to be perfect. We're not called to climb mountains. But we are called to try. There's a little passage in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 10. It's only a line and a half long, but it says so much. The Apostle Paul writes to the Ephesians and says, trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. Trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. Zacchaeus was trying to see Jesus, trying to see over the obstacles, trying to see around the obstacles. And then we come to our third word, overcome. And I think it's the biggest word of the six words that we're going to look at. Zacchaeus had what I'm going to call the overcomer gene. You know, there are certain things about you that you just charge off to, well, that's just the way I am. I've always been that way. My parents were like that. Their parents were like that. It's just in the genes. There was something in Zacchaeus. And if you follow the language carefully, in verse 4 of chapter 19, he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree. He didn't stop and look at the crowd and say, I can't see anything anyway. I might as well go back home. Zacchaeus looked around, saw the obstacles, and took off running. Here's a man who's wealthier than anybody else around, in the crowd probably. Here's a man who had position and power and importance, and he ran and climbed the sycamore tree. Why? Because he was going to overcome the obstacles. And he did. When he got up in the tree, in all his good clothes, an adult man, and everybody pointed at him and said, look at the strange fellow up in the tree. Zacchaeus could at least see. He could see Jesus. And as Jesus walked down the road, that overcomer gene served Zacchaeus very well. It's true that some probably looked at him and thought, how foolish. But I want to read a passage from the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 1 for you. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18, think about yourself in light of this passage. Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not in cleverness of speech, that the cross of Christ should be made void. The word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. God chose the foolishness of the message to save those who believe. The crowd looked at Zacchaeus and said, what a foolish fellow he is to climb up in a sycamore tree. But he overcame the obstacles. There are probably obstacles in your life, things you can't do anything about, things that may get you down from time to time. Remember that Zacchaeus was trying. He was trying to see Jesus. And ultimately, he would overcome. Zacchaeus not only overcame, but as he looked now out over the crowd, the most amazing thing happened to Zacchaeus. Jesus saw him. Jesus looked up in the tree, didn't see the crowd in the way, but saw Zacchaeus. And then he offered the invitation. Our fourth word, response. A moment ago, the young man read from Luke chapter 14. And three times in that reading, he read about individuals who made excuses. I want you to put that alongside of Zacchaeus. They had all kinds of excuses. And ultimately, God the Father, who had planned this banquet, was very upset, very angry about their excuses. Zacchaeus could have made all kinds of excuses. But if you look at the text very carefully, if you come back to Luke chapter 19, and you look at verse 5 and 6, you read this. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for today I must stay at your house. He hurried, came down, received him gladly. Now let's look a little closer at this passage. How quickly do you see Zacchaeus coming down out of the tree? And how quickly did he get through that crowd? And now look out there on the road, and there they are, face to face, Jesus and Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus didn't offer any excuses. He didn't say that the house is not clean. He didn't say, I have a piece of property I have to go and look at. He didn't say that this is my busy time of the year. Zacchaeus hurried and came down. He couldn't believe his fortune, and he came through the crowd. And I love to imagine the expression on the faces of an individual when I preach a lesson like this. When Zacchaeus and Jesus came face to face out there on the road through Jericho, what do you see on their faces? What do you see in Zacchaeus' face? I see a big smile. I see, I couldn't believe I'm here with you. And after Jesus had told a parable in Luke chapter 14 about excuse makers, what do you see on Jesus' face? As Zacchaeus has come charging through the crowd and stopped right in front of him. And I see a big smile. And you look at the two, and they turn and they walk down the road towards Zacchaeus' house. It's a beautiful picture. It's a beautiful picture. But Zacchaeus had to have the desire. And Zacchaeus had to overcome some obstacles. And Zacchaeus had to respond to the invitation of Christ. In Matthew chapter 10, I believe it is, Jesus offered that great invitation, come unto me all you that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, learn of me. I'm meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. What did Zacchaeus find that his wealth and his position had not given him? Rest for the soul. In the words of the Apostle Paul to the Philippians, a peace that passeth comprehension. A peace that passeth comprehension. The fifth word in our six words is the word converted. We talk about conversion. But what does it look like? Well, if we look at verses 7-9 of our text, this is what we find. When the crowd saw it, they began to grumble, saying, he is gone to be the guest of a man who is a sinner. Zacchaeus stopped and said to the Lord, behold, Lord, half of my possessions I give to the poor. And if I've defrauded anyone of anything, I'll give back four times as much. Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house because he too is the son of Abraham. Now, how did the crowd see Zacchaeus and Jesus? He's a sinner. We're not. He is. And that makes a black mark on Jesus as well. What did Jesus see? A son of Abraham. A son of Abraham. It's all in the way you look at it. And what does it look like, this idea of conversion, this willingness to make things right? There's a passage that I want to share with you over in the book of Ephesians. And the reason I've chosen this passage is because of verse 23. But I want to read from verse about 17 down through verse 23. But when we get to verse 23, you will discover exactly where conversion takes place and what it looks like. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. So this I say and affirm together with the Lord, that you walk no longer just as the Gentiles also walk in the futility of their minds, being darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their heart. They have become callous, have given themselves over to sensuality for the practice of every kind of impurity with greediness. But you did not learn Christ in this way. If indeed you've heard of him and have been taught in him, just as truth is in Christ, that in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lust of deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind. You know, it's interesting, the number of times in Scripture, both the Old Testament and the New Testament, that our minds are the focus of the text. In our class this morning, we were looking at the book of Ezra. God stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia. He stirred up the spirit or the mind of the children of Israel to go back and rebuild the temple. You read the first chapter of the prophet Haggai. Haggai's challenge was to get the people started again, and God stirred their spirit. From time to time, I think we need our spirits stirred with a message that God has things for us to do. For the very substance of what conversion is all about is a difference. Sometimes we are a little concerned that we're not exactly like the world. We don't quite think that same way. My friend, you're on the right track if you're out of step with society. If you're out of step with the world, you're on the right track. As Zacchaeus walked down the road, it wasn't with the crowd that he walked. It was with Christ that he walked. And so our fifth word, Zacchaeus is converted. He's not going to be the same man. I have no idea what that's going to do to his business. It's not going to make him any taller. There are going to be challenges, but he's converted. And there's one more word, the sixth word, alive. Zacchaeus is alive. I couldn't think of any better way of putting it. Zacchaeus already had wealth. Zacchaeus already had position. What can Jesus Christ give him that he didn't already have? He's alive. I think of Romans chapter 6. We buried with him in baptism to do what? To rise, to walk in newness of life. Take a look at Zacchaeus, and you'll see the significance of newness of life. Newness of life. In verse 9 of our text, verses 9 and 10, it's all said and done. And what happened to Zacchaeus, we don't know. But don't you know he was not the same man? After Jesus had spent a day or evening in his home, if there was a family there, if he was a married man with children, that home would never be the same. Jesus had been there. Zacchaeus, when he went to work on Monday morning, would look at his job differently than he had before. He had money in the bank. It wouldn't mean quite the same to him now as it had. Let's look at verses 9 and 10. Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house because he's a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." Was Zacchaeus lost? Sounds like it, doesn't it? Is he safe now? Why? Because he walked down the road with Jesus, the Son of God. And you and I, in our walk as Christians, need to understand what Zacchaeus must have felt and feel it in our very bones, that we are alive spiritually. We are, many of us, not all of you, but many of us, growing older with all the aches and pains that come that way. Doesn't have anything to do with alive spiritually. May we be alive spiritually. Jesus' invitation, come on down here, Zacchaeus. And Zacchaeus hurried and came down. Invitation is still open. The opportunity is always there. You may be here this morning, never thought about the need that is buried deep inside of us, the need for something spiritual. We live in a society today that thinks technology is going to solve our problems. And we've got more problems now than we've ever had. And those who lead us run around in circles because they don't know anything else to do. Our need is not more material. Our need is spiritual. Charles Colson from a federal prison came to discover that truth. May you and I as Christians comprehend what we have as Christians, children of God. Nothing else matters as much as that. If you're here this morning and there's some way we can help you in our prayers in your behalf, to see you respond to the invitation of Christ, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. I'm meek and lowly in heart. You'll find rest for your soul. And as you look down the Jericho road, Zacchaeus says it's true. It's there. If there's some way we can help you this morning, would you come while we stand and while we sing?